Herzlich willkommen zu einer neuen Folge Not Just Coding, eurem Podcast über Tech, Digitalisierung und IT. Gemeinsam tauchen wir ein in neue Technologien, spannende Herausforderungen und kreative Lösungen. Mach's dir gemütlich, viel Spaß bei der Folge. So, today we have a rather special episode. As you already hear, I talk English, and this episode is the first one we record and hopefully release in English, because today we have a special guest in the podcast. Today we will talk about cloud enablement with Myrna. Hello, Myrna.
Hello, Colvin.
How are you?
I'm fine. A bit nervous, since, you know, I didn't have a lot of time to prepare, but let's give it a try. Glad to be with you here. And that's right.
It's interesting that we have two episodes about cloud. The first topic was cloud migration, and we had this with Thorsten. And Thorsten's beginning was, yeah. Oh, yeah, I couldn't prepare at all. I'm sorry, I'm nervous. So we have
great.
Kind of. Let's see if it turns out also as good as the episode with Thorsten. I took away a lot with that. If okay. The listeners want to listen again, it's two episodes with Thorsten Jacobi about cloud migrations. And today, yeah, we will talk about cloud enablement, which is also a rather broad topic description. Before starting with anything, before we get into the nitty-gritty of what is cloud enablement and so on, let's try to get a sense what we mean with cloud when we talk about cloud in this podcast. Would you mind giving us like a broad description? Mm-hmm. What do you consider cloud for this specific podcast now?
Yeah, I guess this question might be easy, but at the same time, not easy to answer, since it depends on who you ask. Like, I guess you can get many different answers to what is cloud. In this sense of cloud enablement, let me try to summarize what I would define cloud. I would say it's a global network of remote servers that you host on the internet, or that can be hosted on the internet by third-party vendors. So it's you do not own it. You can deploy storage and manage your workloads, your data there. So it's not like the kind of servers or data centers that you have locally that you own by yourself. It's owned by someone else. You can use it, you can access it all around the world. I mean, we are all using cloud in every single detail in our daily life nowadays. So when we talk about using our emails, like you're accessing your Gmail, or you're sharing your files via Dropbox, or you're using the 365 Office services, etc. So you're using or accessing the cloud every day. I hope I could summarize what I see under this.
So for this podcast, for this definition, cloud for you is really hosted by or operated by someone else. It's not I own my own resources and take care of them, but I rather have buy managed services in some way from someone else to get them deployed.
Yeah.
All right. So from this sense, if I look at that, what exactly does it then mean that I or my team or whatever uses the cloud?
So as I said, it basically means that they can access those servers, those remote servers owned by someone else, in order to deploy, build or manage some workloads there, some applications, some services, store their data, manage their data there. So regardless of what their purpose is, but that they are able to access it, to make use of it, to host something on those servers.
So using resources from whoever owns them and manages them for you, that's for you using the cloud, whatever that is for others.
Yeah.
For this podcast, this is the definition now.
Yeah.
All right. Now that we have a broader understanding what it means, what is cloud, using cloud, what is the cloud, quickly, broadly, it's not really into nitty-gritty detail. Of course, there are private clouds hosted somewhere that is managed by the company and so on. But for now, let's ignore that
exactly.
rather yeah. big yeah. definition of
yeah.
cloud.
That's also why I said, like, it depends on who you ask. You can find a lot of definitions with a lot of details. Like, we didn't mention the different kinds of cloud. Like, are we talking about the private, the public, the hybrid solutions of cloud or models? We didn't talk about that. Or who is managing what? Because, like, it can be owned by someone else, but you can still manage it by yourself. Or you can say, like, I want the owner to manage that. Like, what happens in the cloud, in the non-cloud providers nowadays, like in Azure or AWS and so on. So you can have some servers there. They own it. They manage it for you. Or you can say, no, I want to host it there, but I want to manage it. And then it depends on how you define the access models to that. If you keep it private, if you say, no, I want to have a hybrid solution, etc.
Yeah, as I said, let's not go too much into detail. It's not a podcast about cloud in particular. It's more about cloud enablement. So yeah. the main question we want to answer today is, how do we enable teams that want to use the cloud to use the cloud? How are they able then? Or how do we, as I said, enable them? That's the focus topic, or the leading question, if you want. In the episode with Thorsten, we had already a little bit of insight into that. Cloud migrations are usually also interconnected with, we then use the cloud, so we need to be enabled to use the cloud. We used a lot the term skills. Thorsten really used this a lot, but he never really said which skills you need or anything. It's just more, you need skills in your IT organization to have, and these skills are needed to use cloud resources efficiently and successfully. What are the skills you would say? What do you come up with skills that you would say that are needed to successfully run workloads in the cloud?
It's a mixture of many things, I would say. So it's a whole bunch of cloud native methodology skills, maybe. Let me try to name some. So enabling your team or investing in your team so that they understand the fundamentals, the basics. What is cloud? What we mean with cloud? Why we need it? Why we want to move our workloads to the cloud? And when it makes sense, because I guess we both know that we had a lot of projects in which the customers were interested in moving their workloads to the cloud. But like after having a look on what they have, it doesn't always make sense to move some workloads to the cloud. So it's also very important for them to understand when and why do I need to move some stuff to the cloud. Then moving to be able to use the cloud native methodology while deploying and developing your workloads to be migrated to the cloud or to be born also in the cloud. So you have your cloud native applications. And with that, I mean, like, it's important to understand what are microservices. What do we mean by that? How to build them? When does it make sense to containerize my applications or microservices? And how to do that? How do I build my containers? How do I bring my applications into containers? What do I mean by container orchestration tools like Kubernetes? And when does it make sense to use them? Because this was also a trend somehow in between where everyone just wanted to use Kubernetes without even knowing like which challenges and costs does it bring with. So this is also very important to understand. Then moving to be able to automate everything, like how you automate the management and provisioning of your resources in the cloud using infrastructure as code. Then you also, because when you have everything on the cloud, it doesn't mean that you're done and let's celebrate and let it go. I guess there starts your cloud journey. So it doesn't stop there, but it starts there. So it's also very important to understand how to operate and monitor everything when it's in the cloud, and also how to include security along the whole journey in all of the steps that we mentioned, starting from the first step till you are in the cloud and you're operating everything. So security and compliances is also very important to understand and be able to use along the whole journey. And not to forget also, of course, the including the agile and DevOps practices along the whole way. So I'm sure I forgot some stuff, but let's say that these are the main things that came to my mind right now.
It's already quite the broad skill set you need in your organization to, I mean, from processes like how do I work in an agile way, what is, you said automation, so I guess CI/CD and so on, how do I deploy,
exactly.
how do I continuously deploy, to also managing operations and the whole point to developing cloud native applications. That's like a huge field of basically everything. You have all these cross-cutting concerns that you have to kind of keep in mind. It's like operating your application on your own hardware, I guess, because it's just cloud doesn't make that go away. It's just, it replaces it with managing the hardware that you don't know or that you hopefully no longer need to manage.
And maybe what many forget when they move to cloud is that it brings some complexity with it, like especially in terms of security and compliances. You have to work perfectly on that. Otherwise, you might, you know, like fail in securing your data and applications and everything.
So from my perspective, the skills needed are basically those of a whole IT department, I would say. So basically, even with cloud migrations, and Torsten also mentioned that, it's not like someone is no longer needed. We can now fire him and save the cost there.
Yeah.
Database administrators are still needed because the knowledge they have how to manage database is still needed in the cloud. It's just, I don't need to run the server my own, but how does, I don't know, Postgres scale about multiple instances?
Yeah.
That knowledge is still needed.
Absolutely. I guess this is a very important point because it needs a collaboration between the whole teams. So it doesn't mean that I have a team of cloud experts or architectures or whatever who have some experience with cloud migration, etc. So I have them perfect. I can let the other teams work on their stuff, and this team will care about everything what relates to cloud. It doesn't work that way, unfortunately, which is also not clear to many clients who are moving to the cloud or who tried to move to the cloud recently. So it's collaboration work between a lot of teams. Like you said, you cannot get rid of one team or someone just to save some costs. Everyone is important, and especially the teams that you already have in your company, because they are the ones who work on the applications, like maybe from years. They understand your business logic very well. They understand the company, the compliances, the rules that you have, the applications in their hands. So it's very important to use that knowledge also. So I mean, as a cloud team who comes maybe to support the company in its journey, it doesn't mean that you have to reinvent the wheel and understand those things from scratch. You can work along with the teams, or the development teams who are already there to get that done. So it's a teamwork from all the teams included in that journey.
All right. I will try to get back to the topic of this podcast. We now have like a broad understanding, all right? We want to use the cloud, more like what it means to use the cloud. And we also know it's not one team that just does the cloud and that's it, but it's more the whole IT organization. All your teams need to be there. All your teams need to, all the knowledge they have is needed to really successfully use the cloud. So how do I, as a, be it a manager or an IT organization, how do I enable my teams to use the cloud? What is the first step there? Or is there like a step, or is it more like a rolling process?
Yeah, it's difficult to answer because, as always, what a surprise, it depends. But let me say, like, you can start, of course, if you don't have in your company someone who has the needed knowledge to enable your teams, then it starts with hiring someone who is able to do that and starting to enable your teams. Maybe it starts with just small workshops together with the ones that you are hiring to put the first plans and to put your strategy, like understand why they are thinking to move to cloud, how they want to achieve that, does it make sense in their case? And in this step, it's very important to understand also what they already have. That's why I said it's important to include also the development teams in that step, because they are the one who understand that the best. So it's also important to include them from the first step so that they work together with this cloud team. Let's call it the cloud team, the new cloud team hired there to support them. After putting those plans, then try to train them, to educate the development teams, which is a very important step. So it depends also, of course, on how much knowledge they already have. Like we said, maybe from the beginning, from understanding the cloud fundamentals, reaching the implementation stages and how to do everything with a hands-on experience, sorry. As I said, if it's also needed to foster your DevOps and Agile methodology, it's also an important step. If the company doesn't do that already, it's also important to educate your teams in that direction also. And yeah, that's how it starts, let's say.
So that already you said trainings and also, so you mentioned maybe hiring new folks that already have experience and training my existing IT organization to have more knowledge in that regard. But also you said fostering a DevOps kind of spirit and also an agility, increasing the agile thing. That's a lot of investment. As a manager, I would say that's a lot of investment and also a lot of change in the IT organization from a rather more solid structure, let's say, that is broken apart into a way more dynamic structure. Would you say that's regularly an issue in these enablements, that the management really needs to trust their development team?
Yeah, sometimes it might be a challenge, at least also to make the management understand, like, why do they need to invest on their teams? Because usually they think, okay, we get some cloud experts, they do the job and then they go. And it's not easy to, convince them that this is not the way to do or to go with your cloud journey. You need to invest on your teams. You need to enable your teams so that they work together with other teams on that, and so that they take it also after that from there, because they are the ones who will work with that on the long term. So they need to be able to do that, to understand everything and to take it from there. So sometimes it's challenging to convince them, and as you said, also that they trust that their teams are able to learn that and to be experts in the cloud, let's say, so that they can have a successful journey at the end. It's not an easy job, and that's usually like where the discussions at the beginning, at the very beginning, in the workshops that we usually done are invested to convince the management. It's a journey. We have to work together on that, and you need to enable your teams. Otherwise, it will be very difficult, at least for you. Maybe for us, it's not that relevant or difficult, but for you, it will not be a successful journey at the end.
Yeah, I think it's quite, you already wrapped up kind of the spirit. A lot of consultants I met in now Novatech, but also around other topics, have that they don't want to do your work for you, but what they really want is to enable you to do this work and then basically leave again, because it's not, they don't want to operate your software.
Absolutely, yeah.
They want to help you operate your software by enabling the team. That's why I think this cloud enablement, or in general enabling folks for whatever technology they want to use is such an focused, such an interesting, such an important topic. You already said trainings are a huge part of that, and giving knowledge to the developers or the teams that are currently already there. Would you mind maybe going more into detail in that? Like, do you think trainings are the only way there? Is it, what part of trainings is that important? Or how do folks, in your eyes, learn these skills the quickest? Or
trainings are crucial to do that. They are very important, as I said, because you already know, you are also a trainer for our cloud native training that we deliver. It's very important because we there try, as I said, to start from the beginning. It always depends on the audience, but if needed, we start from the beginnings with the very basic theoretical concepts to understand everything, the fundamentals, and then go with them to complexer concepts and to more complicated stuffs and features. So we also try in our trainings to let them do the things like to get some hands-on experience, to do some exercises by themselves. So it's not only theoretical stuff, but also like trying in practice. What do we mean by what we talked about? So it's a mixture. You find a lot of certificates out there that help you also to understand some stuff. And sometimes there are some differences between the different big cloud providers out there. So it's important to understand the infrastructure they are providing, their services, their platforms, everything. Another very important thing that you already maybe mentioned is to share knowledge. Like sharing knowledge is very important. So as we said, it's a collaboration work. And while this cloud team works with the development teams on that journey, it's very important that they share their knowledge. So they build this know-how concept, and they let the development teams really understand what's going on, why they are making some decisions. Yeah, the collaboration between the teams is very important. Sharing knowledge, letting the development team learn along the journey is very important. And let them also decide with you, understand everything, do some bare programming as usual, implement the things together is very important also.
All right. You say it's the whole organization needs the knowledge, not just a specific team that does the cloud, whatever that implies. And also you said that knowledge sharing is enormously important. So it's fruitful to share the knowledge, because then only then the organization can really learn from all the things. And it's not just one expert team that, because it's not like for me, from my understanding, it's not like using cloud resources. It's not, I do it once and it's finished, and from there on out it will just run. But it's a shift in how I approach a solution for the problem I have.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why it's very important, as you said, to the whole organization to understand that. Maybe in different ways, like, of course, not all the departments need to understand technically what we are talking about and everything, but to some extent, at least understand what's that, why we are taking this step, and what does that mean for us, which challenges will that bring with, so that they do not get surprised in the middle and say, like, what we always maybe experience, like, why we did that? We already had our works, workloads or applications working. Everything was fine. Why you thought about moving to cloud and so on. So it's very important to have that done from the beginning, so that you do not get such discussions in the middle that might stop the whole thing from some decision makers, yeah. Let's say.
As I said, we also need the trust from the management in this process.
Yeah.
And not just, it's not like a one-off decision, yeah, we now do cloud and that's it, but we need this drive towards basically it's an organizational change in many places. It's not just, we use cloud resources, that's it. But it's also, how do we approach our problems? How do we do CI/CD, and especially like these things are often more rigorous and often in set in stone. I want this release process, and now we need to overthink that, because otherwise we don't really use cloud resources to their benefit they deliver.
Maybe one thing that we can mention here, I guess we know that very well, is that why it's important also for other departments to understand that one thing that should not be underestimated is to provide the development teams with the needed tools and environments so that they can really migrate to cloud and use cloud, because we know that it might be a big challenge in some projects. So that's why it's very important that everyone understands that this is important right now. And we need really to equip them with the right tools and environment so that they can move on with their journey.
It's basically like you were meant to be a podcast host, because that was the thing I wanted to ask. I heard a lot of when going this way, when the management makes the decision to use cloud resources instead of developing or hosting their own infrastructure anymore, or maybe in parallel, like in hybrid models and so on. I often heard the term cloud platform. And I assume from what you just said, this is basically the collection of tools, the collection of environments, the collection of knowledge, where the whole process is basically resides on, where we know the cloud platform is the place to go when I want to use the cloud. Am I in kind of right in that regard?
Yeah, I would say yes. As you said, if I want to summarize it like in some kind of definition, let's say, I would also say it's this comprehensive suite maybe, or set of tools, of services, of knowledge that you have along your journey to cloud. So maybe in the sense of cloud providers, or coming back to the technical definition of cloud, it's that set of tools, services, resources that's provided by someone else, by a cloud provider, that you can use in order to do your journey to the cloud and deploy your applications and data.
Do I get that right, that from a goal perspective, if I look into the goals that an IT organization might have with, for example, the cloud platform, building a cloud platform, it is to reduce the complexity of basically the cloud, or the steps we need to get the cloud, and also share the knowledge that is needed. It's not just developing, I don't know, some infrastructure as code components and that's it, and just keeping that, but it's more, from our perspective, it's more the enablement for other teams to use cloud, to make this as easy as you can.
Yeah, exactly. So that also they can, in the future, maybe take it from there, as we said, and make the decisions themselves. Because when they understand everything and they are part of everything from the beginning, if the company needs something new in the future, then their own teams can decide on that, and they can maybe tell like which, when and which workloads should be done migrated or moved to the cloud in the future. They should be able also to decide on the right tools and services to use there in the cloud, and maybe to be able to be there also, like if we talk about the development tools or cloud native frameworks to do the job. So they should also be able to decide on that to some extent in the future. And that's why it's very important to have them included in that whole process from the beginning.
All right. I will try to wrap up, because we are already very close to the first half episode, to the first episode. I will try to wrap that up. For the sake of this discussion here, with cloud, we mainly mean public clouds, but I guess all the things we said are also applicable to basically any cloud infrastructure you want to use. If you want to use a private or a hybrid approach, enablement and the knowledge we need to share is still the same, basically, or it's still needed to share the knowledge, and it's not just one team that does this. To use these resources and basically buy them from someone, that's already the definition of how what we meant with using the cloud. And to enable teams there is way more than just basically going into an Azure portal and clicking on a server and I have that. But it's more of understanding what are the implications, what are the, from being security and maybe GDPR aspects and so on, but what are the implications of using cloud resources in the team? And also, how do we enable them to use these? But also, from an organizational perspective, more a shift towards maybe more agile approaches, more DevOps approaches, where we might not want to have the where we want to enable the team to continuously deploy, for example, in CI/CD pipelines and so on. All these things are important. It's not just you book a team from outside, you get a supplier that that creates you an Azure tenant, and then that's it. But it's more, how do we enable this team to use the resources, and what do they need to take care of? What do they need to keep in mind when using these resources? And sharing that knowledge across the whole IT organization. On the other side, from a more management perspective, it's more the trust that my employees, my IT organization will do their best to have that application run. And also that the investment I have, because it is quite a large investment, knowledge sharing, trainings and so on, they all cost money in some to some degree.
Yeah.
That this investment is not useless, but it is meant to enable the folks to use cloud resources.
Yeah. You summarized that in a great way, I'd say.
What do you think is the most valuable resource someone can know about in that regard? So maybe it's I think we had this with Torsten. Torsten mentioned in the cloud migration process, he mentioned, for example, the 6 R's from AWS. So an approached list how to migrate specifically now. Do you have something like that for enablement? So when I as a team want to be enabled, what is something I need to read, need to look at, maybe a conference I need to visit or something?
I would say come to our cloud platform journey training. It's a very important resource. Now, putting joke aside, I don't have really one specific resource, but I would say like such similar trainings are very important resource to start with.
So starting with the training to understand the really basics of cloud in the beginning. You might not need a training that goes into details of what is Kubernetes and deployments, because that's basically already too much. But it's more like, what is cloud? What is a public cloud? What is a private cloud? What does it mean to use cloud? And so on. So this knowledge is...
I mean, there are a lot of online courses, like if you search out there, that might help you to start really with the fundamentals.
All right. I think with that, we will finish this episode, but we will already in the basically now, we both will sit here and keep recording another episode. And in the second part, you might be able to share a little bit more about your personal experience in that regard. So how did you enable teams? What were the challenges in that way? What are the outcomes of, for example, these trainings? What are the common questions you get and so on? I'm really looking forward to that, because usually I'm more of the practical guy who wants to get stuff done. And yeah, the first part is always a little bit theoretically and more unclear what exactly is meant with that. So I will keep looking forward to that. And with that, I thank you for your time.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure.
Bye. Das war's mit der aktuellen Folge Not Just Coding. Wir hoffen, dir hat die Folge gefallen und du konntest neue, spannende Einblicke gewinnen. Wenn der Podcast dir gefällt, lass uns doch gerne eine Bewertung da und teile ihn mit jedem, den es interessieren könnte. Danke fürs Zuhören und bis zum nächsten Mal.